Now I want you to imagine this morning that you are going through life, you're traveling down the road of life, and you come to a crossroads. And at this crossroads, you find three people. There is a pastor who doesn't get his sermon ready until late on Saturday night by the skin of his teeth. There's a pastor who has his sermon ready every Thursday, perfectly polished by noon. And then there's the Easter Bunny. All right, do we understand? You have a pastor who is scrambling to get it all ready on Saturday night, a pastor who has it perfectly ready by noon on Thursday, and the Easter Bunny. And here's my question. Who would you ask for directions out of those three? Friends, the answer is the pastor who doesn't have his sermon ready till Saturday night, because the other two are figments of your imagination. All right? Now, it has been an incredibly busy week for me, but I will tell you I got it prepared a little quicker than late on Saturday night, but I'm so excited about what God wants to say yet again in this message in the midst of this sermon series. And I want to start off by saying this to you, and it's just a personal declaration of my heart, and I hope that you join me in it. I really want to get to know God. I really want to know God. I want to know God to the depths that He deserves to be known, and I want to lead our church in this personal pursuit to know God to the depths of who He really is. You see, I want us to know God like Noah did. I want us to know God like Moses did. I want us to know God like David did, like Elijah did, like Mary and Peter and Lazarus did. But most of all, and if you've been with us in recent weeks, you already know this, I want us together to know God the way Abraham did, because God declared that Abraham was His friend. You see, our main question that we've been asking again and again is, what's it going to take to know God like that? Friends, if you're here and it's your first Sunday with us, I want you to know that we are in an ongoing sermon series. We've been in this series now for a number of weeks, and we are in this pursuit in the year 2018 to get to know God better than we've ever known Him before. And we are pursuing that by tracking and tracing the life of the Old Testament man. His name was Abraham. And so we're asking that question, what's it going to take to embrace the God-filled life? What's it going to take to know God to the depths that Abraham did? And so far, we've answered that question with these answers. Let's walk through these quickly. Sermon number one, we said, if you're going to do that, you have to leave everything behind. That's what Abraham did. The second sermon, we said, you have to let everything go. The third week, we have to entrust everything completely to Him. Last Sunday, we said you have to pursue everything patiently. And then the answer for today is this. What's it going to take to embrace the God-filled life? You have to lift everything up. Now, obviously, with a title like that, obviously, with an emphasis like that, today, it's very clear we're going to be talking about prayer. Because there is nothing more important to you and I getting to know God than to have an active prayer life where we're praying for more than just simply our noontime or dinner meal. You see, here's what I really want. I want to get to know God, but let me extend that now. I really want to learn how to pray. How about you? And let me tell you what that means for me. I'm not interested in fancy rhetoric or eloquent oratory or endless monologues. I've done all that. I don't want to engage in hyperventilating, chair jumping, room rocking, aisle dancing theatrics. And we know that some people get involved in that. I don't want to adopt one of the religious mantra chanting, bead counting, incense burning, rag tying rituals. No, friend, I don't want any of those things. I just want to learn to talk to God. And when I talk to God, and when I pray, I don't want to do all the talking. And when I pray, I want to know that He is listening. You see, for me, I'm just trying to be as clear as I can. I want to learn to pray the way Abraham did. when he built his altars, when the Lord appeared to him, when the word of the Lord came to him. This morning, I want you to take your Bibles with me and go together. And if you don't have a Bible today, reach into the pew pocket in front of you. We have Bibles there for you. And you say, Pastor Danny, I don't even have a Bible at my house. If that's you today, I want you to take that Bible, and then I want you to take that Bible home. That is our gift to you, all right? But let's take our Bibles together, and let's go to Genesis chapter 18. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 1 and 2. And this is going to launch us today into some of the story with Abraham that we need to know, that we need to learn from. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 and 2 says this: The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them, and he bowed low to the ground. Let's stop reading there. Let me tell you the rest of this story. These three men appear in front of Abraham. And in essence, what we need to know right now is this was the Lord appearing to Abraham in the form of three men. And the rest of that chapter tells us that Abraham began to rush around to try to take care of these men. And these men ended up revealing that Sarah, his wife, is going to finally have a baby. Now, for some of you here this morning that don't know who Abraham and Sarah are, that may not sound like big news, but you need to understand that Abraham and Sarah were really, really old. I mean, I'm talking Sarah was way beyond the years of childbearing. And when those men revealed that Sarah was finally going to have a baby, guess what she did in her spirit? The Bible says she laughed. She didn't lay her head back and laugh out loud. No, she kind of snickered privately down in her heart. But those men, representing the Lord, they knew exactly what she had done. They said, "You laugh, Sarah," and she denied it. But look at what it says in verse 16 of chapter 18. After they revealed that Sarah laughed and snickered inside, it says, "When the men got up to leave, they looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way." So Abraham and Sarah had just gotten some of the biggest news ever revealed to them in their life. And it says that Abraham walked away to be with these men. Abraham got up, he walked away to be with the Lord. A critical lesson, folks, is right here for the taking if we won't miss it. You see, prayer starts, write that in your sermon notes on the back of your worship guide. Prayer starts with a walk with the Lord. Prayer starts with a walk. You see, I'm afraid that that's what many people don't realize. Prayer doesn't begin when we decide to ask the Lord to bless our food. No, prayer starts when we walk with God. It doesn't start with some lofty salutation, some organ prelude, or the lighting of incense. No, it begins when we have a relationship with God, right? And the Bible describes that as a walk. You see, walking with God the way someone would walk with a friend. Now, many of you know full well that I enjoy exercise. And I enjoy a lot of different kinds of exercise. And one of the things I used to enjoy is running. And now, well, it's just mainly mostly walking these days. But walking is refreshing to my spirit. I love going to IOOF and seeing the sunrise there. I love seeing the ducks and geese fly there. I love watching the colors at dawn and watching the world awaken. I love walking with friends. And you know, over the years, I've actually done away with several walking partners. They just didn't hang around. But there are two rules that I've learned about walking with a friend. If you've ever walked with a friend, the same rules apply to you and them. They certainly have for me. If you're going to walk with a friend, two rules: you have to walk in the same direction and you have to walk at the same pace. You see, that's the only way to do that and keep walking together. Well, I began to think about that and how that applies to our relationship with Almighty God. You see, the same truths apply if you're going to walk with God. If we want to walk with God, we have to walk in His direction. That means we have to surrender the will of our life to God. We can't go off in our own direction, doing our own thing, deciding on our own goals and pursuing our own purposes. But we also have to walk at God's pace. And that's what's hard for us sometimes. That means we walk step in step in obedience to His Word. The Bible guides us. And here's the simple and profound truth in all of that. And you need to hear this. God won't adjust His pace or His direction for you or me. So in other words, if we're going to walk with God, we have to do it the way He does. We have to obey Him. We have to adjust our pace. We have to adjust our direction if we really want to walk with God. So let me ask you today, and I mean this very personally and deeply, how is your walk with God? You see, all of us have a walk. But you need to ask yourself, how's my walk with God? Do you even have a walk with God? Do you even really want a walk with God? And if you are striving to walk with Him, are you walking at God's pace and are you walking in God's direction? Here's what I want to ask you. And I've been trying to rally us around this idea. I want you to join me in 2018 in walking with God as Adam did, the first man God created, so personally that we live in the paradise of His presence. I want you to join me in walking with God as Enoch did, that Old Testament figure, so consistently that increasingly we live in heavenly places. I want you to walk with me as Noah did, so obediently that God can use us to save others from judgment. I want you to join me in walking with God as Abraham did, with such sensitivity that he actually seemed to know what was on God's mind. Friends, embracing the God-filled life is centered on lifting everything up. We have to pray, and prayer starts with a walk. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. It starts with a walk. It starts. But now let's add this. Prayer also stays. Prayer starts, but prayer stays. You see, the progression through the rest of Genesis 18 is the interaction of these three men. And it's really intriguing. When you get to Genesis 19, which we've already talked about in this series, you found out that these two men of the three, two of these are the angels that go on to Sodom that are pulled into Lot's house. And that means the third man in the group is none other than the Lord Himself. Isn't that amazing? This is an appearance of the Lord in the Old Testament. But what's even more interesting than that is what happens next. These men announce that they are going towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Pick it up in chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, he said, I will know." And then I want you to look at what Abraham does in verse 22. "The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord." What's Abraham do? He stays. With who? The Lord. Folks, prayer stays in the presence of God. And I really need to hear that today. This really challenged me this week, and I pray it challenges you, because here's the problem with Danny Reeves' prayer life. I don't know if you're like me, but more often than not, here's how my prayer life looks. I rush through my prayer time. I try to remember everyone and everything I'm supposed to be praying for as your pastor, and then I jump up and I shut my Bible and I shut my notebook and I hurry off praying in God's strength that He lead me through the day. But that's not how prayer is supposed to be. Prayer stays. You see, Abraham stayed. I mean, I have to be honest. What blessings have I missed because I haven't stayed with God? Has God wanted to reveal Himself to me in a way that I've never seen before? And let me ask you, do you rush through your prayer time too? Because I don't think it's just me. And what might happen if you didn't rush? What might happen if you just stayed a little bit longer? Might we feel God speaking to us? Might we feel God drawing us to Himself? Friend, prayer stays in the presence of God. And then I love what happens next. Prayer also approaches God's person. Look at verse 23 with me. I love how this progresses. And then it says, Abraham approached the Lord and he said. We'll get at what he said in just a second. Abraham approached God. He approached God because he knew he was a living person. And oh, how we need to hear that today. Because there are so many people who are here and in the world who sometimes don't really understand God. They feel like God is some sort of ghost. Or God's just some sort of icon in the stained glass down at the church building. Or he's just a figment of someone's imagination. Or he's just the first cause according to science. Or now because of popular television and movies, some people believe God is just simply the force. But I've got to tell you, God is so much more than that. God is the one who has ears to hear you. God is the one who has eyes to see you. God is the one who has a heart to love you. God is the one who has hands to guide you. God is the one who has a will, to direct you. You see, Abraham understood that. He was fully convinced that God was a living, loving, listening person. Prayer stays in the presence of a living God. Prayer starts with a walk. Prayer stays in the presence of God. But now let's move on. Prayer speaks. And that's exactly what happens next. Let's go back to verse 23 and we're going to read all the way through verse 32 because now as Abraham has approached God, understanding that he is real and living and ready to listen, Abraham begins to pour out his heart in verse 23. It says, then Abraham approached him and he said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Talking about this coming destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. What if there are 50 righteous people in the city, he says. Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you, God, to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham is being bold before God. Verse 26. The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city because of 5 people? If I find 45, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again he spoke to him, what if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. And then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30? Can be found there. He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. And then he said, may the Lord not be angry. But let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? 10 righteous people. And God said, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left. And Abraham returned home. That's some conversation, isn't it? What do you sense from Abraham in those words, in that prayer with God? What I sense is that he was really burdened. He was burdened for the spiritual condition of the world around him. He was burdened for the city closest to him, for his own family members, namely his nephew Lot, who he knew lived there, who he knew was in danger. And he spoke honestly to God, didn't he? And he offered hard questions. He was honestly asking for real answers. And let me ask you this, and I think we ought to stop and take notice. Has anyone ever told you that a true believer doesn't question God? You ever heard that? Or that if you were a person of faith, you would never ask why Do you know what that is? It's craziness. It's not biblical. The Old Testament prophets questioned God. The New Testament disciples felt totally free to question Jesus all the time. And I'll be honest with you, it's the only way I know to get answers. You have to ask questions. And let me say this today. God welcomes our questions. But the main part of this incredible dialogue is not really about prayer speaking honestly and questioning God. I think the real focus is that prayer should be responsive. And that's why I love this passage so much. Abraham is almost haggling with the Lord. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? If there's 50, and then if there's 45, and then 40, and God, how about 30, and how about 20, and how about 10? All the way down. And I think it's so intriguing because Abraham speaks, and then the Lord responds, and then Abraham says, and then the Lord says, and back and forth it goes, responding to one another. How many of you have ever been in one of those conversations where you can never get a word in? Raise your hand. I've been making my way all over the state, speaking to our Texas Baptist schools. And in my most recent place, I got teamed up with this lady. She was sitting at my table at the event afterwards, and they had asked her to be there. She was related to the school president, and she was happy to be there to welcome Dr. Reeves to the university. And you know what she did? She talked my ear off. I never got to say a word. And I know you find that hard to believe, choir. No comments. My ears were bleeding when she finished. But you know what I found out? She was a stay-at-home mom with little children. And she was so happy to talk to an adult. You know, those conversations are everywhere in life. And we get frustrated when we're in those. When we're in a conversation and we never can get a word in edgewise. But I wonder, don't you think God feels like that sometimes? Sometimes at the end of our prayers, He must think, I had some stuff to say too. How do we dialogue with God? It's a good question, isn't it? How do we dialogue with God? Well, I think we do it just like we've just read in the text. We say something and then we listen for God to say something. And let me just say this. Let's try it this week. Let's try praying in a responsive way. Prayer speaks, yes, but prayer also listens, because that's how a conversation works. Prayer starts. Prayer stays. Prayer speaks. Let me add a fourth one, not even in your sermon notes today. Prayer stops. Now you say, Pastor, I thought the Bible said that we're supposed to pray without ceasing, right? But you know what? Prayer has to come to an end. And how do you know when to stop the dialogue and just start trusting? Right? That's the question. And I think the answer in this conversation with Abraham and God is very clear. Prayer stops with the assurance that God has heard us and the anticipation that He's going to answer. Let's go back to verse number 33 in chapter 18, because I think it's very clear how this happens with Abraham and God. Verse 33, when the Lord had finished speaking, Abraham left and returned home. When did Abraham stop? He stopped when the Lord stopped talking. You see, Sodom would be spared. He had God's word. It was going to be spared for the sake of 10 righteous people. Now a deep question. Everybody listen. Who or what is your Sodom? Just think about that for a moment. Who or what is your Sodom? For whom are you desperately praying? Is there someone whose life you know is so out of tune with God's will and work and word that it's just a matter of time before that person self-destructs? And are you scared for him? Are you scared for her? Are you scared for them? Who or what is your Sodom? Friend, if you have a Sodom, then pray. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? If you have someone you know desperately needs the Lord, then pray. Ask God to give you a promise. Ask Him to give you another one to confirm the first one. And then wait for God to answer. And I'm totally intrigued with what Abraham does next. Go over to chapter 19. I just couldn't help but show you this today. Genesis 19, verses 27 and 28. Abraham's prayer has come to an end, and now he's waiting. But in verse 27 it says, "Early the next morning Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land like smoke from a furnace." Can you imagine Abraham's heart? When he stopped talking to God, he didn't stop thinking about this, folks. He knew the conversation that he and God had had. His actions reveal he was anxious to discover how God was going to answer his prayer. But I wonder how he must have felt. Smoke was rising from the very city that he had pleaded God for. And all he sees, glowing embers and residual smoke. And I'll bet, even though it's not in the text, that Abraham said, "Oh God, no. God, you promised. Were there not even 10, Lord?" But then look at what it says in verse 29. "So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, He remembered Abraham, and He brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived." God had remembered Abraham. Praise be to God. He didn't save Sodom for the sake of 10 righteous people because 10 righteous people weren't there, but He saved Lot for the sake of one righteous man who cared enough to pray. One, Abraham was willing to stand in the gap and pray, and because he did, a man named Lot was saved. So you see now why I want to learn to pray so much? Do you see now why it's so imperative that you learn to pray? Here's my question. Are you unable to stand in the gap for someone because your prayers are just wishing or hoping or imagining and even daydreaming? And I wonder who could be saved from God's judgment if we really chose to communicate with God about them. So today, folks, let's learn from God's example with Abraham. And let's lift everything and everyone up in prayer. Let's bow our heads. And let's be about this business even now. Let's pray.